I feel rich or poor, though. I'm not sure where on that spectrum I live. But I think I shall feel rich for the day, because that's a better place to be than an art and lord or a lady or whatever. So thank you for that, Colin. And if you are, all right, give in. Have you all had a fantastic day?
Yes.
Let me make you feel better. My day started with emergency dental work because I lost a filling last night, so a night in agony. We had Borders go belly up yesterday in the States, so I've been doing emergency stuff on one of our key routes to market going belly up. I've had locked away with lawyers on a sale and purchase agreement that was complete shite. And I've had a board conference call with one of my directors in China, one in Los Angeles, one in Switzerland, and one in Cheshire. And trying to get any sense out of them was frankly beyond me. But that's what boards are for, to be managed, Colin. Anyway, I think that couldn't manage a good dinner. They're to be managed, that's what they're there for. So I'm very envious of you having been locked away in the service room all day. Here today, because the speaker list looked fantastic. I really, really wanted to spend the day with you. And as Colin said, I am standing between you and a drink. So I don't want to be killed in the stampede. And I genuinely only want to say two things to you. I want to say thank you, and I want to say please. Please don't give up, basically, because it's torrid out there, but please don't give up. And thank you, because what Colin didn't say in his, what I'm sure would have been a very kind introduction if he'd have written it down, what he didn't say was that I am the product of a single parent family, a male single parent family. My dad brought me up. And that was in the 50s and 60s, when that was not a fashionable or famous thing to do. And that was in Camden Town, just down the road from here. We grew up in a railway flat backing onto the lines that came into Euston. And my dad was a part-time clerk for the railways. So as you can imagine, cash was something that was in pretty tight supply. But we had three things going for us. We had a free pass, so we had free travel everywhere, which was brilliant. And we had massive curiosity, and we had a shed load of time, because he only worked part-time. So we went to every free gallery, museum, show, festival, you name it, we were there. Lunch. We went to everything, and that gave me and my sister this incredibly stimulating childhood, and you know, it brought history to life. It left us both with a lifelong commitment and love of public art, fabulous love of very bizarre experimental theatre, very eclectic musical tastes, which I won't take you through. But they were genuinely childhood experiences that completely changed all of our horizons, and they were made possible by people like you and by organisations like yours. So I know it's tough, I know it's shit, but please don't underestimate the influence on people or the value of the work that you're doing. In helping people like me reach their potential. And I know that's easy to forget. It's very easy to forget. You're in the trenches, you've had your sixth rejection that day, you don't know how you're going to pay the overheads next year. It's all so worth it. And Colin mentioned too, I've worked for loads and loads and loads of charities. And I now work for Children in Need. It feels like I work full time. I share Children in Need. And you all know Children in Need. You know Pudsey, and you know Terry Wogan, and you know the telethon. And if I were you, I'd be sitting there going, piss, 8 hours of live television every year. what's not to love? How hard can that be? And frankly, you're right. That's a huge privilege. Huge privilege. But even though we've broken records for every one of the 3 years that I've now been in the chair, you know, I cannot be satisfied because we still get, we get applications for grants from four times the number of organisations we can support. So, you know, in my head, we are a complete and abject failure. You know, we've still got this mountain to climb to be able to satisfy that demand. And even though we support 1,200 different organisations with different projects, and, you know, by the law of averages, I haven't had time to go through all the lists, but, you know, there are probably several in this room that we support, particularly with the small grants programme. I don't know if many of you know about that, but that's up to £30,000 over 3 years, and it has a completely disproportionate effect, I have to say, on the work that people are able to do locally. But, you know, one of the privileges of chairing an organisation like Children in Need is I get to poke my nose into loads and loads and loads of different organisations. And, you know, personally, I just love visiting projects. You know, it can't be beaten, and I get out and about as much as I possibly can. In the past year, I've been to, you know, I've been to music projects, I've been to arts projects, I've been to theatre projects, all the types of stuff that you're doing every day, and all of them are having an amazingly positive effect on the lives of some pretty challenged kids. I mean, I went to a fantastic arts project for deaf, dumb and blind kids. You know, that is a pretty bad start in life to try and get out, and they were doing fantastic stuff. I went to a music project just down the road in Southwark for kids that were stuck in gangs. Again, you know, fantastic work, fantastic results getting achieved there. I've been to women's refuges where, you know, theatre companies are coming in to help kids who've been abused cope with that through drama and dance and whatever. And just amazingly fantastic work. But I also, you know, so that's the real, I was going to say the fun bit of my job, which sounds a bit weird to say, but it's a tremendous privilege to go out and about and see stuff. But I also make sure that I do the other part with equal weighting, you know, that who we give the money to and how, and I make sure that I get out and about to all of the regional grant assessments that we do. I want to make sure that I absolutely understand the choices that we're making. And, you know, frankly, they are judgments of Solomon. They are absolutely, you know, we're having to say no to things that actually you want to say a resounding yes every day. And that's bloody hard to do. It really is, because it feels like a Sophie's choice. And I encourage all of the board of Children in Need to do the same, to get out there and see what's happening at the coal front, because that way, the more sold you are on the outcomes of the organisation, you know, the results of the work, the more energy and effort you will put into the fundraising, the more you'll put your hand in your own pocket, frankly. You know, I said it was an enormous privilege, but I think at Children in Need, with that privilege, comes a massive responsibility, and that's really to fund the hard-to-fund stuff. Not the warm, fluffy stuff that, frankly, is much easier to raise money for. But, you know, the experiments, the people who are really reaching out and trying new and completely different and maybe dangerous things. Things that might fail. You know, I think we have a duty to capacity build. I think we have a duty to raise money for the charities, particularly those, you know, I was really interested, somebody down here said, we don't have a permanent home, it becomes particularly difficult to reach out into a community. For those types of charities who find it very difficult to raise funds, I think that we have a particular responsibility to help. Because, you know, I know how tough fundraising is. It really is, and it's not getting any easier, it's just getting harder, and it's not the responsibility of people called head of fundraising. You know, I completely agree with Dennis. You know, it's everybody's responsibility. It's the chair, it's the chief exec, she said, pointing at Colin, get out there, Colin. It's the chair and chief exec, it's the IT guy, it's the receptionist, it's everybody's responsibility. You know, just because you're not called head of fundraising doesn't mean you can abrogate all responsibility for it. I did an interview last year for the head of the London Business School, just down the road here. He asked me to describe my day job, and I said, I am storyteller in chief. Because my job is to make sure all of the stakeholders understand what we're trying to do and how we're going to do it. So, you know, I'm not called sales director, I'm not called commercial director, but I am front of house and I am sales, just like all of you. For a couple of decades, I worked in advertising agencies, and I was never called new business director. You know, lofty managing director, chief exec, whatever. But you know, my primary job was new business. My primary job was growing existing business. My primary job was pitching, just like all of you. So I'm not a full-time fundraiser, because I don't have that as my title. But you know, from my personal perspective, front of house, what I wanted to do was just send you on your way with three thoughts. It's always three, isn't it? Because I want you not to give up. And that was the second thing I wanted to say. That was the please, please, don't give up. So thank you and don't give up. And the first of those three is, you know, just learn not to take it personally. Rejection isn't rejection of you. It really isn't. You know, if you ask for my help and I say no, it's really not because I don't think your work's worthwhile, I don't rate your organisation, it's nothing to do with that. It's just one of the, you know, gazillion Sophie's choices that we're all making every day. You know, we've all got limited resources, seemingly unlimited need, and how do I choose between the ballet and the NSPCC and, you know, the local youth group down the road? You know, it's all and, it's not and or, they're all worthwhile. So how do I make those choices? And rejection is not, definitely not, personal. No may not be the end of it. If somebody says no to you today, that doesn't mean they're going to say no to you tomorrow. I've got a very dear friend called May Blood. Anybody know Baroness Blood? She's a sort of tireless peace worker in Northern Ireland. Amazing, amazing woman. And I remember her telling me that she had learnt to love it when people said no, because it meant they were still talking to her. Brackets and they hadn't shut up, but it meant that they were still talking to her. And I think learning that they've only made that choice for now, come back in a year maybe, keep in touch in the interim. Because, you know, the truth is, particularly as a corporate, it's, we only look at organisations to support when we're asked. You know, nobody has time during the day. So it's exactly like, you know, you put money in a tin when it's racked in front of you. Whereas you wouldn't dream, perhaps, of giving money to that charity if it hadn't. You know, you put money in the plate when you leave a church, even though you're not a member and, you know, you've only been once in 10 years. You know, we all respond to the just giving emails because another bloody friend is running a bloody marathon. You know, you almost don't look at the organisation that's benefited. So, you know, the second thing I'd say after don't take it personally is don't ask, don't get. It's really as simple as that. You know, it's a statement of the obvious, and again, I agree, don't be apologetic. There's a great cartoon in the Times today that's got, you know, big society crossed out as beg society. You know, it's not about begging. You don't have to be apologetic. You know, you just have to make sure you're asking the right person, and the right person is somebody with the budget who has the authority to spend it. You know, it's worth doing a bit of homework in that. It's making sure that you've done your homework and you know, identified a need they have that you can help with. You know, you want to hit the nerve with your pitch, so that's about right place, right time. You know, why you, why them, why do you make a good partnership? And of course, you know, as the panel was just saying, that's about preparation, that's about personalising everything. But you do still have to ask. There has to be a close to it. You know, Colin said I used to chair groundwork. You know, I got involved with that purely by accident in 1994 because somebody asked me. And I was asked by somebody who'd done their homework on me as well as the corporation. I was running an advertising agency, spookily also down the road in Camden Town. I haven't come very far in 50-odd years. You know, all of these references are within half a mile of here, including where I currently work, so, okay. But they asked me, you know, not just because we were a very large employer in Camden, but they bothered to find out that I was born and raised in Camden, that I knew the estates around there, that I'd been to school there, that I knew the problems of the borough. You know, they were able to really, really press my buttons. They knew exactly what they could say. You know, and to be honest, ditto with Colin when he asked me to get involved with arts and business. The first time I was approached about arts and business, you know, they found out that I was more motivated by childhood deprivation, equality of opportunity, making a difference. And I was first approached to chair arts and kids. Remember? You know, which was a very personal, very individual approach. So remember, even when you're talking to a corporation, there is no such thing as talking to a corporation, you're talking to a person. And if you can really get resonance with that, it'll make a huge difference. That's the sort of, again, it's kind of like, what's in it for me? It's not about altruism. So don't take it personally, don't ask, don't get. And thirdly, think about ease. Energy, enthusiasm, evangelism, right the way through the whole organisation. You know, whatever is happening, however close to catastrophe you are, head up, we're there, we're doing fantastically, we're doing fantastic work, we're making a fantastic difference. Because that's what will lay the groundwork for your pitch, and that's true of any sales situation. That's not just about trying to raise money in the charitable sector. You know, we were talking about getting rich bastards on your board. I actually think that you would be much better off to get a really good marketing person or a really good PR person on your board who can really help you spread that message. I am an absolute believer that you should not be able to buy your way onto a board, and the board is about good governance and helping the organisation. You know, make them a patron. They're going to write £1 million. You know, you want people who are going to be engaged, turn up, do stuff. And a PR or a marketing person can make a huge difference to, you know, you getting a meeting or starting a conversation with somebody because they've heard of you. Much easier to sell to somebody if you're not starting with, I've never heard of you, don't know what you do, now what are you trying to sell me? You know, that's not how life is. So they'll make a huge difference. You know, if I just think about my day job at Future, not Forward, PLC. So, you know, we've got the CSR bit, and we're part of the 1% club, and, you know, we do all that. But I get literally asked every single day to fund or sponsor or donate or whatever to all sorts of causes and charities. And, you know, frankly and admittedly, I cop out for big decisions. You know, it's in my too hard box, and the way that I get around it is we do corporate match funding. So we have 1,500 people who raise money for organisations and charities that they care about, and we match fund it. So we have a corporate pot. But even though we do that, we do make exceptions. And the exceptions that we make are invariably a very logical fit for a partnership. You know, it's almost too hard to say no. From someone who's made a really tailored approach, and, you know, that we've heard of. If not, you know, in the broader world, we've heard of through word of mouth, through recommendation, because we've been sent stuff. And, you know, if I look at what we're currently supporting outside of that much funding, we're supporting community projects in Bath. You may not think there's a lot of deprivation in Bath. I promise you there are. Why do we do that? Because we are Bath's largest employer. We support national advertising and literacy charities. We're a publisher, so, you know, there are two income streams. In our global offices around the world, we support HIV HIV charities in San Francisco. Again, you know, obvious issue. Several of the people that work for me in San Francisco are HIV positive. In our New York office, where our music group is, we support music in the community for the most deprived young people. They're not actually kids, but they're, you know, unemployed, at risk young people. We do that in New York. In Australia, we've been working with the disaster organisations, obviously for floods or whatever. So all of these things are very obvious and very natural partnerships. If you think for a nanosecond about what future is and what it does. But in every single case, for every single one of those corporate charities, they approached us. We didn't sit there going, we're a big employer in Bath, let's do an outreach, let's see what community groups are doing. Every single one of them came to us. So, you know, there is no point waiting for the phone to ring, certainly from corporates. You know, you have to reach out, you have to reach out with energy and enthusiasm and evangelism about your cause, because if you don't ask, you won't get. You do all the research on the planet, but if you don't actually make the call, nothing's going to happen, trust me. And, you know, you are going to kiss a lot of frogs to find the prince, because that's how life is, and that's true of any inverted commas sales situation. And I make no apology for using the word sales, because you are selling the organisation, you're selling the what's in it for me. So so don't take it personally, make the ask, do it full of enthusiasm, do it full of ease, and again, I love, the harder you work, the luckier you will be, and that's because, I'm pointing at Lord Stevenson, by the way, in absentia, because that was one of the things that I heard him allude to. You know, everybody thinks that, oh, it's just luck, but actually, luck is opportunity meeting preparation, and you are in charge of half of that equation. So that's why the harder you work, the luckier you'll get. So, you know, please don't give up. My dad used to say, let's just keep on keeping on and we'll get there, and we did. God bless him. And there are millions of me's out there for you to find, who wouldn't be, frankly, where they are today without organisations like yours and people like you. So on behalf of all of them, thank you. On behalf of me, thank you. Good luck. I so want you to succeed.